And friends, would you please pray with me as we come to our time for the sermon. Dear God, we know that your ways are high above our ways, and your thoughts are high above our thoughts. Help us to seek your wisdom and not us, and not the wisdom of this world. Help us to not simply look good for others, but to be honest with ourselves. We pray all this in your word made flesh, Jesus the Christ. Amen. One of my favorite new TV shows right now is called The Good Place. Anybody here seen The Good Place or heard of it? Okay, a small handful of you. So it's an interesting show. It's very different from your typical sitcom. It takes place in the afterlife. And the idea is that you don't have a heaven and a hell, you have a good place, which is where extraordinarily moral people end up. And then you have a bad place for the rest of us. Now, the main character in the show is a woman named Eleanor Shellstrop, and she wakes up one day and finds out that she's died and wound up in the good place. But she quickly realizes a mistake has been made, because everyone else thinks that during her lifetime she was this amazing lawyer who saved men and women wrongfully put on death row. But in reality, in her lifetime, Eleanor worked at a call center selling fake medication to the elderly. In other words, Eleanor does not belong in the good place. But she tries to trick other people around her. She tries to fool others. In the very first episode, she goes to a fancy cocktail party in the good place, and she steals some extra shrimp because she just loves shrimp and she can't help herself. And the very next day, she wakes up and she finds that giant flying shrimp are terrorizing everybody in the good place. And it turns out, even in the afterlife, her actions have consequences. And she realizes she can't trick anybody. And so instead of trying to trick people, she begins to become honest with herself. And she decides that she needs to work hard to become a better person, because she really only ended up in the good place by accident. And so she begins to take lessons in moral philosophy from her friend Chi, who was a professor of ethics and moral philosophy during his lifetime on Earth. And all of a sudden, she finds herself doing things that she would have never done on planet Earth. For example, she gives up her spot in line so someone else can cut in front of her. A totally unselfish act. And in one of my favorite scenes in the TV show, she holds open a door as hundreds and hundreds of people pass her by, all because she's working hard to become a better person. And Eleanor does all this because she realizes she was not a good person during her lifetime, but she was and became a more and more honest person. And that honesty allowed her to improve herself and to focus on growth. Now, just like Eleanor couldn't fool herself or other people, none of us can fool ourselves into becoming a better person. Now, can we? Now, this is something that we all know. We all have flaws. None of us are perfect. We all have shortcomings. As Eleanor says in The Good Place, "Hobity's nerfit." Let me think about that for a second. "Hobity's nerfit." It's a bad joke, but I thought it was funny. Or as we like to say in the Christian faith, in the words of the Apostle Paul, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And because the Lord knows that we are not perfect, God doesn't care if we look good for other people. God cares if we're honest with ourselves. And so true wisdom, friends, is not looking good for others, but being honest with ourselves. And this focus on honesty is something that Alcoholics Anonymous have long recognized. The fourth step of AA, simply to repeat it one more time, is to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And as I've recently learned, this is the step at which many people drop out of AA. They don't want to do it anymore. And it makes sense. None of us want to look at our flaws. None of us wants to examine our shortcomings. And none of us wants to feel like we're simply beating ourselves up. There's no point in that. I don't think that's really the purpose of step four. The purpose of step four is to help us make a diagnosis. It's like when you go to the doctor. You need to have an honest diagnosis of your health before you can make proper choices about what to do next. If you you go to the doctor and they say everything's okay, but nothing's really okay, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And in the same way, if we look at our hearts and we say everything's fine, but nothing is fine, we're also going to find ourselves in a lot of trouble. And so the purpose of this honest examination is to make an honest diagnosis so that we can focus on growth and moving forward. But we need to begin with honesty. Now, this perspective is nothing new. The wisdom of AA strongly resonates with what we read in Scripture today in the letter of James. James wanted his audience to understand the difference between true wisdom, which focuses on humbly leading a good life and serving other people, and false wisdom, which focuses on boasting and bragging and making oneself look good. In James' own words, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom." In other words, if you are really a wise person, you don't need to brag about how good you are. You don't need to show it off. Instead, you can simply demonstrate your wisdom by the good deeds you do, by being kind to other people. And you don't do these things. You're not kind to another person because you want to look good. You do it because you honestly want to care for someone else and to love on somebody else. Now, this true wisdom is very different from false wisdom. James has a strong warning for us. He says, "If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." In other words, if you're motivated by selfish gain rather than self-giving love, don't try to trick anybody, let alone yourself. Don't boast or brag about how good or wise you are, because you're not really all that good or wise if you're ultimately motivated by selfish ambition. In James' own words, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. By contrast, true wisdom from God is peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. There's a world of difference between true wisdom and false wisdom, and it all comes down to this. False wisdom wants you to simply look good for other people. But true wisdom helps you examine your heart and realize how much work you may still have to do. Consider these examples of people who may seem good and successful on the outside, but on the inside they still suffer from the same broken selfishness as all of us. A businessman has reached the peaks of success in his area of industry, but he spends no time with his family who long for his attention. A teenager posts pictures of herself having fun in the summer sunshine on Instagram, but she's ignoring a text from a friend who's depressed because she herself doesn't want to get dragged down by that. Or what about a college student who wants to show his intelligence and acumen, but he does so by cutting down the authority of his professor and questioning the intelligence of his fellow classmates? Or what about a pastor who tells his congregation about God's call for us to love our neighbors as ourselves, when he doesn't even know the names of the family down the street? All of us, I believe, can benefit by recognizing our shortcomings, by being honest with ourselves. But the problem is we often don't recognize those areas where we have shortcomings. And it's because they're in what I call our moral blind spot. We may honestly think that we're doing the best we can, that we're living the best life we can, but at the same time, we could be doing something which inadvertently hurts somebody else, or we could really be acting from selfish motives instead of self-giving love. And because of our inability to see exactly how our potentially selfish ways are hurting other people, we need to do something really hard, but really beneficial in the long run. We need to have an honest conversation with those near and dear to us, to ask them to point out for us those areas in our life in which we could be doing better. And to help you in this application, you'll find in your bulletin insert a half-page insert with space for three different conversations with three different people. And what I want you to do right now, even, is to think about three people in your life who you love enough and trust enough to be willing to ask a simple question. Hey, where are some areas of my life in which I could be doing better? Do you see something that I may be missing in myself? Now again, this is not an easy thing to do. So I ask you to really reflect on this and to think about those people that you really trust and connect with. Maybe it's your spouse or your partner. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's a best friend. Maybe it's a work colleague. But whoever it is, I ask you to honestly think about somebody who can be truthful with you, but also speak that truth in love. And of course, the purpose of this activity is not to shame ourselves. Because I honestly believe shame does not help us become the people God wants us to be. Instead, shame holds us back. Shame focuses on, I'm such a bad person. But what we want to focus on here today is growth. We want to focus on becoming better people. And as I said earlier, many alcoholics refuse to even go to step four because of the intense feeling of shame that they have. So whether you're an alcoholic or an addict, or whether you're somebody else who's just very acquainted with your own feelings of shame, with your own misdeeds, I still want to encourage you to do this activity, but not to intensify those feelings of shame. The goal is not to beat yourself up. But my hope is that if you are one of those people who is so well acquainted with your own shame, that sharing with somebody else may help you see your behavior in a new light. You may look at yourself and see somebody broken beyond repair, but your friend, your loved one, your spouse, your partner can help you see yourself as a beloved child of God with amazing opportunity for growth. Now, you might also be worried that people will love you less if you're so vulnerable and honest with them. None of us like our own flaws. I know I don't like my flaws. So why would anyone else like me if we're having a conversation about how messed up I am? But at the same time, I honestly think that people connect more quickly and readily with people who are honest and vulnerable. In the words of Richard Rohr, whose book, Breathing Underwater, is the basis for the sermon series, people who are more transparent in admitting of their blind spots and personality flaws are actually quite easy to get along and love. Honesty brings us together. It's boasting that brings us apart. Now, when I was in college, I came back from winter vacation, and I was spending time with my family, and of course I wanted to share with my family about my college experiences. And so I would tell them, you know, typical college things, hanging out with friends, interesting conversations with professors, other typical things you do in college. And I would notice that my sister would get more and more upset the more I talked, and I couldn't figure out why. And sometimes she would actually get so upset she would leave the room. And I had no idea what I was doing. And then finally one day my mother pulled me aside and she said to me, Larry, you need to stop making your sister so upset. And so I said to my mother, I want to, but I have no idea what I'm doing wrong. And my mother sighed in that way that parents do when they can see something so clearly in their children that their children can't see for themselves. All the parents know what I'm talking about. I see a lot of time in their faces. So she sighed and she said to me, Larry, you keep talking about Yale this and Yale that, but you know your sister just got rejected from Yale University in her college application process. You need to be more considerate of her feelings. And instantly, I felt terrible. And so I said to my mother, you know what, I'll just not talk about college again. I'll just shut up. It's not a big deal. And she said, no, Larry, that's not the point. The point is, maybe just instead you can talk about college instead of talking about Yale. Just use a different word. And so I took my mother's advice. I began to talk differently about my college experience. And my sister got less upset with me. Now, beforehand, before my mother had that conversation with me, if you had asked me if I had done anything wrong, I would have honestly said no. But then when my mother pointed this out to me, I recognized that I had been selfish. I had been boasting, and that had pulled me and my sister apart. I hadn't intended to do it, but that just sort of happened. And when my mother gave me an honest diagnosis of my behavior, which she helped me see my wrong ways, I corrected my behavior. And my sister and I are now very close. We text back and forth pretty much every day. We talk once a week. Yesterday, I helped her move into her new apartment over in Jamaica Plains, Boston, because as it turns out, she's getting her master's degree from Harvard University. So now we'll be able to see each other all the time. So it's a very happy ending to the story, on all fronts. Now, friends, To wrap up for today, God knows our flaws better than we know them ourselves. And so the Lord really doesn't care if we look good for other people. What God cares most about is an honest heart. But unfortunately, oftentimes we can't be honest with ourselves. We have moral blind spots. We miss things. And so what we need to do is we need to talk to other people to get that broader perspective so that we can look at our hearts in a different way so we can change our behavior. So friends, if you are, as I think you are, good Christian people trying to live the best life possible, why wouldn't you want to do that honest examination? I know it's hard. It's difficult to have these conversations. But if you can do it, if you can find just 3 people this week to talk to and have that honest conversation, my hunch is that you will see things in your life and your behavior that you never saw before. But that will also allow you to become a more Christ-like and a more loving person. Please join me in a closing prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your wisdom revealed to us in Holy Scripture and spoken testimony, and in the people you have placed in our lives. Give us the courage to reach out to those people so they can help us take moral inventory of ourselves, so that we can move beyond the false wisdom of selfish gain and live into the true wisdom of self-giving love. We ask this in the name of the one who gave himself for all of us, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.